Welcome to The Profitable Web Designer, a podcast for web designers who want to work less and make more money. I'm your host, Shannon Mattern, founder of the Web Designer Academy, where we've helped hundreds of web designers stop undercharging, overworking, and create profitable, sustainable web design businesses. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Profitable Web Designer Podcast. And today I am so excited to introduce you to today's guest. You have heard me mention her name many times on this podcast as I talk about the things that I work through in my business, the challenges and epiphanies I encounter. She's like been a big part of my journey as an entrepreneur since I met her in a local mastermind a few years ago. Her name is Dr. Lee Cordell, and she is the founder of the Institute for Trauma and Psychological Safety. And I am so, so, so excited to have you on the show today, Lee.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to be here with you. Have been very like emotional all day. So like I'm listening to you talk and I'm like, oh, I'm going to cry again. Okay, cool.
This show is absolutely cry friendly, family friendly, dog friendly, doorbell ringing friendly. So I we just get to like be ourselves and let whatever happens, happens. And
yeah,
that's definitely partly inspired by you as well. So just to give everyone a little bit of background, Lee and I met in a local mastermind here in Columbus, Ohio a few years ago. And she's just like such an insightful person. And one of the pivotal moments I recall in like 30 seconds of coaching, like you just like unlocked something for me about like me wanting to be a good girl and do all the right things and shifting into like just being unapologetically me. And so anyway, that's just like, we have a lot to talk about today. So before I get all into that, can you share a little bit with our listeners just about your background and what it is that you do at the Institute?
Sure. So I'm actually a doctorally prepared nurse practitioner. I worked at the bedside in critical care and in cancer care for over a decade. Also taught at the graduate level at a big university for several years, and really realized just how inherently traumatic the healthcare system was, even when, you know, talk about the theme of our conversation of like doing everything right. Even when you do everything right, the way that it's actually, especially when you do everything the way you've been taught to do it, it's inherently traumatic. There's so many things that happen that just really made me go, like, I don't know that this is how it's supposed to be. And, you know, my experience with patients and then also as a mindset coach, my experience with my clients, I was just like, you know, I feel like we're missing a really key piece of what we need as humans to thrive and not just like shuffle through our days. And the psychological safety piece was that. And what's so fascinating is when I founded the Institute in September of 2021. So we're about to have our first or our second birthday. That psychological safety piece wasn't as big as the trauma piece. And now I'm like, yeah, we can talk about trauma, but let's talk about psychological safety and why that is so important. So I really feel for the last year, especially of us kind of coming out of the pandemic, and there's so much upheaval going on in the entrepreneur world, in in business and life and around finances in general, that psychological safety piece of being able to bring your full self to your work, to your relationships, you know, to each individual moment throughout your day, like that is the thing that if I only got to talk about one thing for the rest of my life, like that would be it, is how we can do that, how we can be more of ourselves in every moment and feel safe doing that.
Yeah, and you and I really, you resonate with me so much just in your journey through like the traditional corporate world, not even just like the healthcare world as a whole, like its own animal, but just, you know, we're so conditioned to not bring our full self to everything that we're doing because it has been inherently unsafe, that it is like so, in those spaces anyway, I should say,
yeah.
It is so unnatural, I feel like, to even think that you possibly could be vulnerable or yourself or fail or be messy or show up on a podcast after you've been crying all day and be like, right. Hey, I've been crying all day, or all of those things. And just in meeting you and just really consuming your work, it's so funny. Like, we met up for coffee a couple weeks ago. I'm like, you coached me through a really hard time and you didn't even know it through your podcast and everything that you've done. We just weren't conditioned for it to be okay to be vulnerable. Like,
right.
Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure. There's so many points and places that I think we can go to in history and go, oh, yep, that affected it. That affected it. That affected it. And it's one of those things that I think that this is the crux of the human condition and like the human experience, is we oftentimes think about our experience on the planet as like, as being, how do I want to say this? I don't think I've ever articulated this idea before. So I'm like really, I'm like chewing this through my brain right now. We focus on a lot of times the outcome as humans. And if you are a faith-filled person, a lot of times we think of the outcome as like, this part isn't even the big part. Like, it's after, it's beyond. And if you're not, you know, it's okay, but like, when I get to this point, when I get to this point, when I get to this point. And so as humans, oftentimes when we are so outcome focused, we ask ourselves the question, and I don't even think consciously, we just go, okay, well, who do I have to be? What do I have to do in order to get to that outcome? And when you are outcome focused, a lot of times you're willing to do things that aren't actually in alignment with who you are or how you want to show up or what you really think is right in order to be the way or get the thing that you've been taught is important. And so it really is this deconditioning work around, okay, what is that outcome going to get me and why do I want it? You know, and a lot of times when we go in and when I do this work with clients and we like get into the why of why they want something, there's a feeling they're trying to get. And that feeling usually is psychological safety. That feeling is, I want to belong. I want to feel important. I want to feel happy. I want to feel like I matter. I want to feel like I have purpose. And all of those things are, I want to be connected to other people in a way that I feel accepted. That I belong. Brené Brown actually talks about this. She says that the opposite of belonging is fitting in. And that is really her saying the opposite of psychological safety, aka belonging, is fitting in, which is, I'm not safe. I don't feel safe. So I'm going to just become whomever you need me to be. And I think that the more our society gets focused on outcomes and the more like instantaneous things get, right? The easier it is for us to have outcomes quickly, the less patient we are, the more we're like willing to kind of mask or shift or do things that don't really align with how we want the experience to feel just to have that certainty of the outcome. And this is something that I have been experienced. This is actually why I was crying earlier today, because you know, we're selling our house right now. And I was just saying to you, Shannon, before we started, like we had 20 showings this weekend and no offers. And that was so unexpected. And I noticed my brain going to like, okay, well, like, how do we do this? Or like, how do we fix this or make this look like? And I kind of stepped back and saw myself and went, ooh, I am trying to create an outcome out of this in a way that I don't know that this is actually going to help me feel the way I want to feel in the long term. And so like, what am I feeling right now? How do I want to feel about it? How can I feel that way right now? And then how can I move from that place instead of, oh, how do I get to that outcome as fast as possible?
Yeah. Like, how do you instead of changing the circumstance to change how you feel, which is what we all do, we're like, chase the next shiny object, sign up for the next course, you know, all of the things when we're trying to like create a certain outcome in our business, you're saying, how do I identify what I'm really trying to feel now, feel that way, and then decide, do I even want to be on this path? And if so, what are the steps that I do want to take that are in alignment with me, instead of like, I'll feel better if I have the secret strategy.
Right. And that is, this requires vulnerability. And actually, it's so fascinating we're talking about this today, because I had a training like drop into my brain on Friday. And I was like, oh, this is our next training, our next thing we're going to do. And it's called Safe to Be Seen. And it's all about, how do we practice vulnerability, both internally, like how do we see ourselves? How do we stay honest with ourselves about what we really want, even when it's super inconvenient? Even when you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to want that, right? Like when there's shame around it, all of those pieces. And then like, how do we feel safe being vulnerable externally, which is so important from a business perspective, because if I don't feel safe showing myself to people, then, and they buy, either they're going to buy from me, and then there's going to be a disconnect at some point, because they're going to go, wait a second, I thought you were a different human than you are, or you're just not going to sell. They're not going to buy from you, either because the message is going to feel off, or you're just like not even going to put the message or the offer out there, because why would you? Because you're afraid of, there's a lot of reasons that people are afraid to be seen and afraid to be vulnerable. There's actually 10 that we're going to go through in the training. And a huge one is like, I'm afraid that people are going to judge me. They're going to reject me. They're going to persecute me for whatever I've put out there.
Yeah. I mean, so the thing that I hear, so this podcast is, our listeners are freelance web designers, right? And we talk, one of the things I teach them is how to market their web design business, how to get clients. And there are some really big reasons, which is exactly what you're talking about, why people don't do it. They're afraid of bothering people, annoying people, all of those things. Yeah. But that's not what they're really afraid of. They're really afraid of the rejection or the reaction or the who do you think you are showing up in my inbox. Like they're afraid of those things and what they make that mean about themselves. That's one reason, huge reason we see people like either not marketing or really hiding and like doing what you said, putting a mask on and then trying to be somebody different. And that just feels so hard. It's like, I mean, I'm the same way. I'm like, I cannot be bothered to show up on social media because I can't figure out how to be myself there. And if I can't figure out how to be myself there, then it feels too hard to do it. And I'm just not going to do it. Right. And so, it's like, I can be myself in a podcast. I can be myself in an email. For whatever reason, I have not figured out how to be authentically me in that short format that's given to me on most, most social media platforms. So I opt out. So they hold themselves back in that way. But the other way I see people holding themselves back is pricing, because they're like, oh, if I charge this much, then like, I have to like give more than I'm capable of giving, or I'm presenting myself as being more than I think that I am. And so there's just a lot of fear around pricing as well, in terms of all of those things, like their psychological safety and all of that. So if business feels hard, the things to actually do to market your business and sell projects are very, very simple.
Yeah.
But it's these other things that are in our way that are preventing us from creating the outcomes we want, not the actual like steps.
Yeah. And I just got so excited because I geek out. You know me, I totally geek out about this stuff, because even these terms of like hold yourself back, and I'll hear a lot of people say self-sabotage. when we think of holding yourself back, right? That is when we hold something back, it's because we are trying to protect yes. either the thing we're holding back or ourselves from moving forward. And the same with when we frame that as self-sabotage, I'm like, y'all, look, you, yes, is there a part of you that you are hurting? Absolutely. There is a bigger, deeper, more emotionally connected piece that is protecting you. And if we can figure out how the thing you are doing that feels harmful is actually protecting you, and we can find another way for you to feel safe and another way for you to feel protected while you go do that thing, I promise you, you're not going to have a block anymore. You're not going to create something that we call moral injury in the trauma world, which is where you do things that are out of alignment with how you'd like to show up and you feel out of control around it. We create moral injury when there are parts of ourselves that are at war with one another, right? And so it's like having your foot on the brake and the gas at the same time. If we can figure out why your foot is on the brake and we can find a way for it to safely ease it off, you will move. But so many people keep trying to like put extra pressure on that gas pedal. And talk about dogs barking, you know, my dog's losing his mind in the background here. But, you know, you think about like, if I keep putting pressure on the gas pedal, but my foot is firmly entrenched on that brake, like all I'm going to do is exhaust myself. And then I'm probably going to be mean to myself about how exhausted I am trying to do the thing. And it just becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. And so I love when I get entrepreneurs in front of me that are like, I feel stuck in this area. I'm like, oh, this is exciting. Because what that means is we just got to figure out what your brake is. You might have 7 different things that are on the brake too. So sometimes people find one and then they're like, okay, it's going to work now. And it doesn't. And then they're like, well, forget it. None of this worked. And I'm like, no, it worked. It's just, you've got several. Okay. You had your foot on the brake, but you also had the e-brake pulled, or you didn't have the car in gear too. So if you got a manual car, I learned on a manual, but all of those pieces, like we get to look at it from that perspective. And all of that is from a lens of compassion, self-compassion, of like, can I be grateful that my nervous system held me back in this way? Can I be grateful and appreciative of how much my body and my brain love me and try to keep me safe? And can I approach what's going on from that place?
That line of thinking has really revolutionized like my business. I had a situation happen, which I talked about on this podcast, with a security breach that like affected my finances, that I mean emotionally flooded me was the only like the biggest way that I could say it. And then there was definitely some, and I don't know if I'm using the correct terminology, but I was like very triggered after the fact, and my yeah. nervous system was like going like into overdrive. And you know, while you're in it, you're not able to think clearly. And so I was like trying to be the good girl, and I was falling into my default protection mode, which is to be nice and just explain it again. And maybe someone will help me, because if I get mad, then I won't get helped, and all of these things. And upon, like, as the situation unfolded and I had to like do different things to navigate it that were very uncomfortable for me because they felt unsafe, mm-hmm. going public with it and opening myself up to criticism and judgment and the victim shaming that happens and just all of those things, the one thing that I kept coming back to is like, it's okay. Like, I'm supposed to feel this way right now. Like, this is my yeah. body trying to protect me. This is my brain trying to protect me. I don't need to fight against this. I don't need to tell myself that I shouldn't feel this bad. I don't need to tell myself that I should be able to handle this better, that I should be more resilient. I was able to just be like, no, I should absolutely feel horrible. My body is trying to protect me. I'm not going to blame myself for going into people-pleasing, nice girl, apologetic Shannon mode at the beginning, because that was my default, and then still being afraid to like take other steps. It's like all of that was supposed to happen. And I think at the end of it, though, the thing that I really, if I didn't know it was all supposed to happen, I don't think I could grow from it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a whole word, right? As somebody going through a similar growth edge right now, like this has been the hardest last 4 months of business that I've ever had. And that is saying something. And you and I talked about that at lunch. And that's why we were like, oh, podcast, because a lot of this stuff is stuff that you are trained to not talk about publicly as a business owner, right? Like we're supposed to just make it look like it's all sunshine and rainbows. And, you know, you and I have these multi-six, like, I'm not sure, like seven-figure businesses, and we're the 1% and we've made it and everything's great. And like our relationships are great and everything, you know, and one of the things that I realized is I was like, I am not going to perpetuate that.
Yes.
And while I'm not going to come online and like, you know, we talk about when we have kiddo wounds, which a wound could be the good girl wound of like, if I don't, I will trade my psychological safety for my choice.
For sure.
I will let you control what I'm doing, or I will respond in a way that you want me to in order to feel like I belong, which again, it's not true psychological safety, but it's as good as it got when we were younger, right? So we've learned that pattern. So, you know, when we have those wounds and they get brushed up against, like, and we're bleeding, I'm not going to come online and like bleed all over the internet, right? I'm not going to come onto social media because I'm on there a lot more than you are. I'm not going to come on social media and in a dysregulated state and share what's happening. But you best bet I'm going to tell people that this is hard, that I am struggling, that there's so much good in my life. And there's also so much, like we are in a storm right now. And it's one of those things where for me, it was like, okay, well, if I do everything right, then the storm will end. And if I keep just doing everything right. And I had a conversation with, you know, if you believe in it or not, but like I had a conversation with God last night and I was like, look, I will keep weathering this as long as you want me to. And also, are we close? Like, are we close? Because it has felt really, really hard. And one of the things that I've really learned is when I go through something like this, really like, what am I supposed to learn from this? What am I supposed to learn from this? Is there a part of me that I get to develop more? Is there a part of me that I get to recognize I've actually developed really well because it's helped me get through this? And if this wasn't here, it would have been worse. Like, can I see that and be grateful for that? It's really one of those things of like, it's gonna be hard. And there's this myth, I think, that gets sold to us as entrepreneurs that like, oh, it's as soon as you get to this point, it's gonna be easy. And I have not found that to be the case at all. The hard just changes and it actually gets bigger, like the more people you have and the more clients you have and the more money and all the things. And looking at it through the lens of, what does this mean? Or what else could this mean other than this sucks and this is hard and I don't want to do this and like I don't want to look at any of this. What else could this mean? That's a curiosity perspective. But in order to get there, I should say, and in order to get there, like you said, I see so many people try to spiritually bypass their emotions and their feelings and like they make themselves wrong for it or they're like, no, just shove them down and don't feel them. And I'm like, y'all, you have to feel those feelings because if you don't, your body stays in that, what you're describing as a hyper aroused state. And guess what? You can't access curiosity there. You cannot get curious when you are in hyper arousal. So like you need to go cry. You need to go yell into a pillow or punch it. You need to go like do whatever it is that you do to feel your feelings because on the other side of that is where you can ask that question of what does it mean?
Yeah, I feel like when you were saying that, what was coming up for me is like, I also had the most challenging 4 to 5 months in my business ever, to the point where I wasn't sure that the business was going to survive our financial challenges that happened. You know, there were decisions that I made in the business that didn't work out the way that I thought that they would. There were things that happened that were completely out of my control that also impacted things. And then I also think that there is like a shift happening, whether it's economic or us coming off of 3 years of pandemic captive audiences or whatever is happening in the entrepreneurial space, that if we're going to be in business for ourselves and like have it for the reasons of like freedom, flexibility, financial independence, I don't know. And I do think it's like I bought into the idea. And I don't know who sold it to me. I probably sold it to myself also. That it, once I, like you said, once I reached this point, it would just stay that way. Like I would either plateau there or grow, but I would never go down from there.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, I've arrived. And now the next thing is to grow. Like it never occurred to me that there could also be the option of like falling off the cliff, you know? And I think that like, it's just reality, right? Like we can't control everything that happens. And there's going to be retraction in addition to growth. And to pretend that it's not going to happen at some point seems, I don't know, like, I don't want to say like I should have been more realistic because I don't think that. But looking back to be like, oh, that was just so shocking to me that those two launches just flopped completely. And then to navigate like the shock and then the recovery, because you call it a rupture in your psychological safety, like what I believed about the world.
Right.
And I did all the things I was supposed to do.
I did it right. I did it right. Exactly right.
I put so much work into it. I worked so hard. So I do feel like more of us need to be talking about that. And I do feel like a lot of the entrepreneurs that I've talked to had a challenging first half of 2023.
Yeah.
And I think there is if it's just about the money and the business and the stuff, like why? Because a job would be easier at some point. It's like, so when I think about like, what did I have to learn from it? I had like, there were so many things that I learned, like just to let go of the expectation, to let go of the idea that I have arrived and that I already know everything, to like put my ego aside.
Yeah.
And ask for help, and then also allow help, accept help, receive help, and not judge myself for how hard it's been.
I am so grateful you just said that. I feel so appreciative because my big thing is I learned that I was so hyper independent.
Oh, me too. And I can only count on me. I'm the only one that I can count on.
That, though, that is not vulnerability.
No.
That is, I'm armored up and I will bear the burden and hold the weight of everyone. And I actually had two really interesting patterns that I ran. I like to call them patterns because they weren't part of my personality. Again, they were programmed in at some point. But I ran that pattern of like, I'm armored up, I'm in fight mode, like nobody can help me. I'm going to just like bear the brunt, hold all the weight. And then the other thing that would happen is when that got too heavy, I would go into what we call damsel, which in the trauma world is also referred to as cry attached for help. And it's very closely related to people pleasing. It's a threat response. And it's basically, we go back to being little kids or we go back to being helpless people and we go into this state where we just want somebody to rescue us or save us. And I found myself doing that with my husband and with the business and with this. And I was like, and again, it's that outcome. Well, if somebody could just come along and fix this, or like snap their fingers, wave a magic wand, like everything would be better. I have an incredible husband and partner, and he's been doing his own work over the last several years and looking at our patterns together. And he said something to me that really just like clicked it in my brain. He's like, I want to help you, right? I want to help you. And I want to be able to like use my intelligence and my skills to help you the way that I can help you best, not the way that you are. Like, I'm tired of you telling me I can't help you in certain ways. And then I'm tired of being told exactly how I need to help you and that it can't happen in any other way. And that was so hard to hear. He was like, I need you to take responsibility for what's yours, and I need you to stop taking responsibility for what's not. And I don't think I've ever been so mad and like also like so just grateful and simultaneously in a moment. You know, when you get that advice that you're like, I want to punch you in the face and also thank you. That was a huge moment for me though. And that ever since then, from a business perspective, I've been really looking at that of like, where am I taking responsibility for stuff that's not mine? Where am I not letting my team support me? Where am I not letting people who want to help, help? Where am I not admitting that there's a place that I have some weaknesses that I could use support in? And also, where am I like just expecting miracles and somebody to come along and like swoop in and save the day, where instead I could just be taking some small, consistent action that, yeah, like it's going to take longer. It's going to require more intention. It's going to require more patience. Huge word for me, patience. It's going to require me to not try to fix things so urgently. It's going to require me to be able to tolerate uncertainty. It's going to require a lot of these things that I have, that like really in order to be the kind of business owner and just to be the kind of human I want to be in general, like I'm going to need those skills. And so those are the things I've been working on, is like intentionality and patience and integrity and responsibility and all of these words that I think are just like kind of scary words. And the biggest one is that vulnerability piece of like, can I be honest with myself about how I'm feeling? And can I be honest with other people about how I'm feeling and what I want? And can I not try to have to like manipulate things? Can I just be open and non-assumptive and just say, yeah, this is what I would like? And also, that might not happen, and that's okay. There's been so many lessons out of this. And so I am so grateful for this experience. And also, if it could end like yesterday, that would be phenomenal. But like, it is what it is. And I don't say that from the place of giving up and saying, you know, rolling over and saying, oh, it is what it is. I mean, that place of acceptance of this is what it is. And I get to choose how I'm going to respond to it.
Yeah. All of those, you know, just to kind of circle back to the work you do, you know, you have this program called the Trauma-Informed Entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And myself and our client success coach, Erica, who I believe you've talked to, Erica Nash, yeah. You've been on her podcast because she teaches curriculum design and program design and all of those things. And we have really intentionally put a lot of thought into how we've set up the Web Designer Academy to be that kind, like an experience for our clients that is different than just, oh, come in and we're going to teach you the strategies to package, price, position, and sell profitable web design projects, which is what I say over and over and over again.
I'm like, that rolled right off.
But the real work is to learn how to be vulnerable, how to be seen as who you are, how to shed all of the shoulds and the imposter syndrome. And I will even say, like, to shed the idea that you can self-sabotage, because we also don't believe that you can. There's a reason that you're doing all of the things that you're doing. But the place that I have the most challenge personally is in like the marketing and selling of what we do. Because if I talk about it in terms of like, hey, listen, I'm going to show you how to do these things and I'm going to coach you on your mindset, but like, I don't know if you're going to actually like get clients and I don't know if you're going to actually make money. And like, I can't say all of the shiny things to you to say like, we guarantee that within 90 days of you joining our program, if you do XYZ, you're going to 5X your revenue. Like the sales proposition is that we're going to support you through all of the really hard, challenging things that it takes as you take these actions to grow your business. And we're going to support you when you check all the boxes and you do everything perfectly and it still doesn't work out. Or when that client says something to you that sends you back to being 10 years old and you go into your people pleasing, like self-protective patterns. And so it's so challenging. If this is the journey that I'm on right now, is like, how do I talk about what we really do without selling you on this like sparkly glitter, you know, we're going to help you work less and make more money. Right. Like, cause it's not what we do, but it's almost like, it's like, it is what we do, but that's not what we do. What we do is help you become a more aligned person on your path to do that.
Hmm. I think that there's been, for several years, there was a distortion in the coaching and service provider industry around that you can guarantee results, that if you can make more money, life gets easier, you just need more clients, you know, all of these things. And I think that distortion is getting corrected. And I think a lot of people have realized that that was a fantasy that, yeah, maybe 5 or 10% of people who went through all those programs hit it. And the best way for you to control your outcome in your business is to be in command of yourself. And in order to be in command of yourself, and what I mean by in command is that you are in integrity. You do what you say you're going to do, and you don't do what you say you're not going to do. And earlier you said, things are really simple. That is such a simple idea. And it is one of the hardest things to do because of what we talked about around that self-protection and that self-sabotage. And so if you have a community of people who are already modeling what it looks like to show up as your full self and to own and be like, oh, you know what? I said I was going to do this and I didn't do it. And like, let me look at why, not from a judgmental perspective, but from a curiosity perspective, what's going on here? If you are in a space where people are modeling that around you, you want to talk about programming? That is the kind of programming we're looking for, right? I intentionally program and condition myself now all the time by being in spaces around people who, you know, when I cry, they're not like, oh my gosh, like here's a tissue, get yourself back together. We'll just do the podcast another time. The people who I like you, I can come on and say, hey, I cried for like 3 hours this morning. Are you good to go? Like, I'm good. Are you good? And you're like, yeah, let's do it. And like, that is, if you can do your work in spaces like that, you're going to be more in command. You're going to feel more regulated. You're going to feel more empowered. And that leads to consistency. That leads to persistence. And I always say, like, consistency plus persistence plus integrity, you are unstoppable if you are those three things the majority of the time. Not even all the time, just the majority of the time. And when you catch yourself out being inconsistent, or you catch yourself kind of giving up, or you catch yourself out of alignment with doing what you say you're going to do, are you nice to yourself and do you bring yourself back toward those three things? Because that, again, I know that sounds so simple, But if you can find a program, and Shannon, I know yours has this in it because we've talked about yours. Like, if you can find a mentor or a community that prioritizes those things, they can teach you mediocre web design. They can teach you, like, here's C+ or B- stuff. I'm not saying that yours is. Yours is A+, I'm sure. Not that I'd be able to tell the difference or not. But I don't think people realize that, like, B, you know, expertise plus those things is going to get you so much further. So much further. And so I just get really excited when we have entrepreneurs like you come into our programs and learn, because I know that you're going to go out and create those spaces and that people are more likely to have success there. And that, I feel very excited by that.
I feel like what you do, I'm honored to be a part of what you do, because it does help me help you spread the work around and have you, like, it helps me. You are empowering me to have the real kind of impact that I want. You know, it just so happens that I coach web designers because I was a freelance web designer myself.
Yeah.
And it is a niche that I know inside and out. And I understand, I've been in the shoes of women web designers, and all, especially the ones who are people pleasers, perfectionists. We put on all these masks. We try to keep ourselves safe. We try to, like, for all the reasons why we do it. And the things that I have learned, like, in your space and in hiring people like Erica to help design our curriculum and help inform how our program is structured. It's so interesting that you said, like, A+, B+, C+. I feel like there are so many incredible strategies out there that other people are teaching that I don't teach. It's not our strategy that helps our students create the outcomes that they want. It's all of the other stuff. Because we have people come in that have learned other really fantastic strategies, and yet it's these other things that they need to work on that have nothing to do with anything I teach. It's the coaching piece of it.
And that is, I think, the thing that people are also starting to wake up to, is there is not a strategy, like the strategy, right? There is no one strategy that, if you learn it, is going to make a difference.
Yep.
The strategy that you learn that is going to make a difference is the one that allows you to self-protect the least, because you feel the most comfortable and confident. You're able to be the most consistent with it. You're able to be the most persistent with it. It keeps you in integrity. Like, that, our operations director, Sarah Khan, is a phenomenal coach and a phenomenal human. And she is like the Pepper Potts to my Tony Stark. And she and I have had this conversation a lot, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, Sarah does strategy and you do mindset. I'm like, I mean, Sarah is brilliant at seeing what strategy works for people and helping them develop a strategy that works for people. So she's really good with the gas pedal. And I'm good with the gas pedal too, right? But her expertise is the gas pedal. Mine is the brake. You have to have both. And I would say 90% of programs out there focus on the gas pedal. And I would say of the 10% that focus on the brake, 90% of those do it in a way that you feel crappy about yourself. So if you've got a program like yours, Shannon, where you can figure out what helps you press the gas pedal and then also, like, take your foot off the brake at the same time. Those programs are so rare. Those spaces are so rare. And it is why they are so successful, is because you're looking at both sides. You're looking at all of the aspects.
Well, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because I think that we do a great job in our program, but I feel like there's such an opportunity for people to go deeper in this work with what you do over at the Institute, because I know that for me, when I was experiencing all of the challenges that I was experiencing over just a few months ago, and I was very dysregulated and very anxious. And like, I definitely, my emotional reaction to situations is typically not to cry. I go into like anger or anxiety, but like I was beyond anger and anxiety. So crying was the only one left. So I was very dysregulated, very just for weeks at a time, and truly like going through your programming really helped me just understand why I was feeling the way I felt, which gave me some relief. I felt normal. I didn't feel like I needed to change it. I was able to process it. I was able to talk to my therapist about it. I was able to get some context and some exercises and some things to do to like get myself back to where I could like have the capacity then to do the things I needed to do to move forward. And so for everyone that's listening, how can they learn from you, like get in the world of the Institute and all the incredible things that you do to really help people like feel the way that they want to feel that they're chasing with all these other things?
Yeah. I would say, okay, so I'll get three things. The first thing is that actually four. I'm going to give you four options. I don't typically
give
do that.
Give me all of them. Give me 10.
I know. Our brains are typically like one, two, three, many, but I'm going to tell you why you would choose each of these four options. So the first one is like the toe dip into, I just want to hear more. And, you know, this gets to be a part one because we're going to do part two over my podcast. So that's the first place. There's, I think actually when this comes out, this will be like the 99th or 100th episode, which is super exciting. So we have a lot of stuff over there about trauma and business and all of the things. The second thing is that earlier in the year, we did something called ADAPT, and it was a five-part introduction to trauma and recovery. And so if you are somebody who has never even like contemplated if you have trauma, or you know, you've listened to this episode and you're like, wait a second, right? Like there might be something here. I really like that. It's a great toe dip into the world without feeling overwhelming, because that was really important to me. Is, you know, there's, you can pick up some trauma books and actually put yourself into a very dysregulated, unhealthy state by chapter two. So it's designed to be gentle and allow you to kind of take it as it feels safe for you to do so. And then the two opportunities from a business perspective that I just always encourage entrepreneurs to think about is, our first is our business collective. So our business collective is fascinating because we talk about all of the things that you would traditionally talk about in business masterminds, except we do it through the lens of trauma and psychological safety. So like we go through sales, we go through marketing and messaging, we go through client experience, we go through pricing, all of those things. And we do it from the kind of, think about taking the mask off of like, if I wanted to do this in the way that felt the absolute best for me, how would I do that? And okay, what is everything that comes up around that? What are all the brake pedal pushers that come up around that? And how do I move through those? And so that's a really cool experience because it's set up where you can join it for one round, which is 3 months, or the whole year, which is 4 rounds. And we have people who are actually in their fourth, going into their fifth round in September. And it's different every time, even though the material, like we go over the same core concepts. So it's been a really cool way for people to grow and shift and focus in on what they need to. And then the last thing is our leadership conference that's coming up. And so that is something that I really felt called to bring to the world. It is like the most terrifying thing I've ever done. Right? It's really for people who feel called and committed to like, to bring everything we've talked about here, you know, regulation and curiosity and trauma sensitivity and all of these pieces to how they lead in their businesses and in their lives. And if anyone's listening to this and going like, well, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are, because everybody's a leader, because everyone has one person they can lead, and that's themselves. And so learning how to lead yourself and like create that consistency and that persistence and that integrity is the most important thing you can do as a business owner. And so that's a place to come in person and really go deep with us into that work. If you're tired of being online and tired of watching a Zoom screen and want to get immersed in like some real life stuff. So
yeah, I'll link up to all of those in the show notes. Definitely check out Lee's podcast. It is, I mean, I have so many episodes saved that I listen to. Oh. I go back and listen to ones on failure and money and all of these topics that like no one is talking and thinking about these topics in the way that you are. And I'll link up. We'll be sending out more information about the leadership conference and the collective and all the things, because truly, I do feel like every person listening to this podcast has the break on in their business in some way, even if things are going really well. Like there are places that you're tapping the break. And I think it's just good to be aware of those, even if you're like, it's cool that I know I'm tapping the brake and I'm fine with tapping the brake. I'm totally cool with tapping the brake, but hey, at least I know I'm tapping the brake.
That sometimes you're tapping the brake and it actually makes sense for you to do so. And like, thank you for like wrapping that up in a bow, because it's not always bad. Taking your foot off the gas or tapping on the brake is not always a bad thing. It's just, are we doing it with intention? Are we aware that it's happening? Are we addressing what's going on?
So good. I could talk to you for 100 more years about this stuff, and you guys get to listen to us talk to it even more, because we are going to have a companion episode on Lee's podcast, which I will make sure all of you get. And it'll also be linked up in the show notes of this episode as well. So if you're listening to this in the future, then you can just click into the show notes and head on over to Lee's podcast to hear us talk more about, I don't know, the messy side of business and the growth of leadership and all the things. So Lee, thank you so much for being here. I so appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you too. Thank you for having me. And I'm excited to do our companion episode.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you right back here next week. Bye. Hey, so are you finally ready for some help to make the next 12 months your most profitable yet? We're currently accepting applications for the Web Designer Academy, and we're so excited to see if you're a good fit to work with us so that we can help you to stop leaving time and money on the table and create a profitable, sustainable, fulfilling web design business that you love. Simply go to webdesigneracademy.com/apply to get all of the details and find out how you can get exclusive access to our advanced training on how to make the next 12 months of your web design business your most profitable yet. I can't wait to see your application. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Sound Advice FM network. Sound Advice FM, women's voices amplified.